Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. I thank God for all those who have it in their heart to speak from the heart. God loves us. We left the broadcast yesterday talking about something very important. In the last few broadcasts, we shared about how God is foundational. And God, and you can judge the size of a thing by the foundation that's laid. And it's the same thing with the Word of God, with His people. The time He takes to build your foundation, the things He teach you, the needs He designed you to solve. Some ministries, all ministries are different. They have their own blueprint. Your ministry has a different blueprint than my ministry. Another ministry has a different blueprint than your ministry. Every ministry has its own set of rules and requirements from the Lord. If we tried to use the same blueprint for every ministry, we would have the same, people would be doing identical things. Peter was called to the Jews first. Paul was called to the Gentiles. Paul once tried to go back to Jerusalem, and a prophet came and warned him not to go on it. And he was warned of other prophets not to go. If he went, he'd go to jail. He was out of the jurisdiction of his anointing. That work he was doing by his faith. And it's not as strong as the anointing. With the anointing, you have God's ability to do something. It didn't matter what happened to Paul, whether he went to jail, because he went to jail in Gentile churches, but he always had victory. But when he went to Jerusalem, he had to go see, he had to appeal to Caesar to get full victory. And that's a great difference. When you're anointed, you can do greater things. In the Gentile court, he had the victory. That's where he was sent. So what you have to do is you have to read the blueprints that God gives you, the formats, all the things the Holy Spirit revealed to you by his seven manifestations. That's your personal blueprint. And if you try to build your ministry with my rules, it's not going to work for you. You're going to have training. Your blueprint includes the training you get. In John, it says that you don't need anybody to teach you. The anointing will teach you. Now, with that, if you had to stand alone, the Lord would guide you on what to do. But it's in that day, there were not many people that could teach you. You got to look at the times they were. People were just starting to get saved in the city. The church that John was writing to, I don't know how old it was, but there were. It's safe to say there were no Christian universities you could attend. Not yet. In that day, they had to rely, they had to pay more attention to the anointing that God put on their own lives. Because the Lord was trying to win souls. People were spread, the church was really spread thin. And when you look at it in the context of the situation, when you look at the whole situation, this was a church that John had started. And he was writing to them so that they could grow. Now we have their letter. There were no Christian universities. The Jews was trying to undo everything the apostles did. And the Jews were trying to teach them. And some of them were more eloquent. And everything in the world sounds good. In its own right, it sounds good. And it's believable. Paul had to instruct people not to get tangled up with the law. Keep trusting Christ as your Savior. You don't need other things like circumcision and Sabbath days and what you eat and what you don't to be righteous. All of our righteousness comes from the shed blood of Jesus and nothing else. Everything else was just types and shadows, rules to help prepare for Christ's coming. And he came. Now we prepare for his return. We obey him until he returns. And the people had to, all these factors were out there. And then the devil's trying to rob them, destroy them, kill them. And then you had people of other religions. They were angry because that people stopped putting money in their religion and buying their idols. And then Christians preach against it. So the Christians had a lot of enemies. It's kind of like Jerusalem and all the nations around. Some are dire enemies and some are friends. And the whole world can get into a third war over what happens to Israel. Some countries hate Israel, some countries love Israel, some countries want to take their land and kill their people. The same situation that Christians were in, and there was no Christian nation to back them up. The only Christians were the people that were saved within these nations. And if you didn't get a Christian nation started somewhere, you wouldn't have a power balance. These were dark times. And they did everything they could to kill God's people. But the church prevailed. So John said, you don't need anybody to teach you. The anointing will teach you. When you're surrounded by enemies and people are trying to take you out, you can succeed if you can receive the instructions of the anointing of God. The anointing that God puts on your life will enable you to do the works of God. See, we have to be trained for the anointing. Even though we are anointed, you have to learn how to use it. And being a mechanic like I am, I always picture the anointing for people. I depict it as heavy equipment. And all heavy equipment comes with a training manual. You know, a track loader has a different manual than a dump truck. A dump truck has a different manual than a loader or a drop. That's a big loader. They all have different training manuals. The training manual for a Bobcat, you know, it's totally different than a regular old track loader, even though they operate similar. You know, all these tools and equipment, the motor grader, they grade the road. They all have their different abilities and they have different training manuals to help the operator control it. Same thing with the anointing of God. Every anointing has its own unique training manual. The Holy Spirit will give you counsel for it, knowledge for it. He'll teach you things about his people so that you can better use the anointing. The anointing has rules. There are times that you have to. The Lord taught me there were times I could speak and there were times I shouldn't speak. And I watch the Holy Spirit. He distributes the anointing and he distributes the offices. And then he guides us with counsel when to use it and where to use it. See, the place that you need to use the hot spot, I like to call the place that the Holy Spirit leads you to, those are the hot spots. That's where you're going to win souls. And the Holy Spirit will guide you to the hot spots. His counsel. He'll give you his knowledge. And then he'll show you what to do when you get there. He'll give you his wisdom. See, this is about how the seven spirits operated in the life of Christ, and also how it operates in our ministries, because he was our pattern. Now, Jesus did nothing. The whole ministry of Jesus was totally different from the status quo. And the status quo was Jewish leadership, the Pharisees, the Sanhedrin Council, all the people that sat in Moses' seat in the day. See, Jesus, he ranked higher than them. They had to listen to him because he was more qualified than they were, even by their own laws. And they tried to tangle up his words. They couldn't find anything to speak against him. He always spoke by the Holy Spirit. He had his ears on. The crowd wanted to kill him before, and he walked through the middle of them, the spirit of might. And they didn't recognize him. He was standing right there. They wanted to kill him, and he walked straight through the middle of them, and they couldn't catch him. They didn't know where he went. The Holy Spirit always showed him what to do. Always. And there was never a time that he didn't do what the Holy Spirit gave him. He always did follow the instructions. So he always won, like we will. Now, Paul was warned of the Holy Spirit not to go to Jerusalem. He wasn't supposed to go. People argue it both ways. He actually went. Now, God is not wasteful. He didn't go there to take a vacation. He went there to work. But he went against the warning of the Holy Spirit. And he went in Jesus' name. But he did leave the jurisdiction of his anointing. He wasn't anointed to minister to the Jews. So he ended up in jail. See, when you leave a place that God sent you, that's where you're strong. That's where it's all going to work right. Because you're in the, if a man is paving a road and he's in a motor grader, and he's paving the road. My daddy used to run one in World War II. He was an engineer. He helped pave the Burma Road. So he had a motor grader. All right, you're on your motor grader paving the road. Now you're getting off the motor grader. You know, it's just like Paul going to Jerusalem. He gets out of the motor grader and starts using the shovel. It's a difference. With the anointing, you have God's ability to perform and finish that specific task. You're sanctioned for it. But when you get out of the jurisdiction of your anointing, you're just like a regular man now. And then the armies caught him and put him in jail. They couldn't kill him, but they put him in jail. They tried to kill him. And he found out, and the Lord helped him escape. He had to believe all night. He had to believe everywhere he went for his own safety and security. Now, after all this was over, you didn't read about him going back to Jerusalem. Sometimes we learn our lesson. Now, all these things are there for our example. And it's not written plain as day, but this is exactly, precisely what happened. The way I'm teaching you, you can read the Word of God and judge it for yourself. But when I read it, this is what I saw, understanding that you got to stick with the blueprints of your anointing. And many people don't know it, so you're going to have many Christians arguing it another way. But I believe I'm right, judging by the rules of my own anointing and what the Lord gave me to do and how to do it. And when I look at Paul, that he's my example. The things that John said, that's my example too. There were many times I was taught by people, but the training of the Lord for my own anointing was different than anything else I had ever heard. And the ones that were in sync were usually Kenneth Hagin, Charles Capps, many other ministers. They said things that encouraged me to do the things that the Lord required me to do for my anointing. And because nobody knows, they don't have the blueprints, they don't have the instructions, they don't have the office and the rules that come with it. They can't read my blueprint. That was revealed to me by the Holy Spirit. And it's based on the Word of God. Though it's based on the Word of God, it's not obvious to others. All the things that God has given me, they are biblical things and principles. But nobody else would understand it unless the Holy Spirit revealed it to them. And he won't reveal it to them because he revealed it to me. There's no need to reveal it to somebody else. All of my personal instructions. And if it was, he'd do it. And I can't count the times I've had opposite advice from good men of God. But when they speak under the anointing, they advise me to do exactly and precisely what the Lord has given me to do. But in a conversation where they're just talking out of their head, you know, when we talk to people, we're not always influenced by the anointing. We're not always speaking under the anointing. There are times we give people advice based on what we understand at that point. So in that case, that they're talking out of their head. Which I'm not saying anything derogatory or belittling, but I just noticed a total difference than when people are just having a common conversation. I'll say it that way. Out of their common conversation, even the advice that they would give from their heart, when it's not under the anointing, it's totally different and sometimes opposite. But when they're speaking under the anointing, they encourage you to do the right thing. So what I did, I learned to, if I had a need, ask God. Just like if I need money, I ask God. Now, when you ask God for some money or believe him for it, you don't have to go and broadcast it. He'll put it on somebody's heart to help you with where you need the help. He'll find somebody he can trust to help you. He will. Or a situation. Or he'll open a door for you to work overtime. Or if you have a business, he'll send you a job where you can make enough money to secure your need. Now, same thing with advice. When you don't know what to do, ask the Holy Spirit. Ask him to guide you in this. And he's going to do it the way he sees fit. He may answer you right then. He may answer you as you're studying the Word. He'll make the Word jump off the page and give you revelation for it. Or he'll call one of his people that he trusts to say the perfect thing at the right time under their anointing. So the anointing will not lead you wrong. Whether it's my anointing or somebody else's, I'm fine. That's my safety. That's my answer. And we, the people of God, we must learn these things about God. And if you don't feel comfortable taking my word for it, I understand. Ask him yourself and see what he teach you. Quiet in your spirit and go before him in love and ask him to show you his word. Anything you have concerns about, if I said one thing that's puzzling to you, I won't be offended. Go ask God about it. Go ask God about it. Because you're getting an understanding. Gideon got an understanding. He asked the Lord, he put out the fleece so that he could get an understanding. Kenneth Hagin taught, we don't put out fleece these days. We don't have to. We have the Holy Spirit. We just ask him. And he'll guide us. But once, whatever he show you, mix your faith with it, just like you would the Word of God. And then you'll have foundation in that area. See, God doesn't build without foundation. And people sometimes, now men will. And sometimes he'll let them do it. And then, and wherever they built their ministry without foundation, it always comes crashing down. Always. That part of their ministry, the weak spot will fail them. every time, 100% of the time. They're going to suffer lack because of the weak spots. If they put a person in place that God didn't want them against, they're going to have a problem there. And it's going to cost them something. Because if people do something and cause other people to leave, then the finances go down. But if you build God's way, the finances will be stable. And I learned something a long time ago. In my ministry, I want to give this example in this broadcast before we close, because I learned something from the Lord that when he first called me to the ministry, I thought I was going to have to be a pastor somewhere. I used to run the soundboard at church. And I know how to operate a mixing board. People don't know that. But anyway, I was operating the soundboard, and I would tape the message every Sunday. And I was sitting there one day, I said, well, I guess I end up being a pastor in some small town somewhere. And the Lord said, it won't be like you think. And just as much as he was teaching me about ministry, he taught me about business. I said, well, Lord, you want me to go to school? You want me to go to Rhema? I was willing to do whatever he said do. He kept talking about my business, growing my business. Now, he called me to the ministry, but he started talking to me about business. And I said, that's a minister has a business. And I thought, and I love fixing cars. I didn't want that to be out of my life. It was in my heart. I wanted to keep doing it. But now God is teaching me about business and instructing me to keep my business. And I was frustrated with my business because in the early days, I had a lot of difficulties, especially the second year. See, I started the business a year before the ministry. Then he called me to the ministry at one of my most challenging times in the business. And to make a long story short, I had a harder time that second year. Because there was a parts store, and I could get all my parts quick. They had a warehouse down the street, and all the parts I needed, I could get them within moments. And I made more money the first year than I did the second and third year. And I didn't realize it until I got my tithe state. That's when I knew how much money I had made that year. Because I would spend most of my time working, and I didn't keep good records my first year. But it was going forward, and everything was working. But the Lord blessed me. And the East Lake Auto Parts Store was open. And Bobby had the best parts store back then in that area. And I could get my parts quickly. If they didn't have it at that store, I could get it before lunchtime. Or at most the next day. I'd have it the next day if I couldn't get it, if the warehouse was out. And then AutoZone opened. And he sold his business to Bumper to Bumper. And that's when it all went south. when they opened up, they were totally different. They were not as organized as his business was. So I couldn't get parts as quick. And the large chain, there were so many people in line, I couldn't get parts. And that was also a time when when GM's, you could buy a Buick with a Chevrolet motor or a Chevrolet with an Oldsmobile. They just swap motors around in their cars. And it was a mechanic's nightmare. You'd ask for a part for a Cutlass, and it'd be the wrong water pump. That one, you know, they didn't have cell phones prevalently yet. I didn't have one. So it was very tough to get parts. And I couldn't make as much money as I did the previous year. And then that was also the year I got called to the ministry. So I was about tired of my business. And the Lord was telling me to keep my business. Now, the reason I said that is because it's so unique. I didn't know where the Lord was going with this. This was my instruction. This is what he gave me to do. So I kept my business. And I remember one day, I said, well, I was thinking about finding me a job, letting that business go. And the Lord didn't want me to do it. And I had to preach that week. And I said, Lord, you didn't give me a message yet. And it was getting closer to the time that I was going to have to minister the word of God. And he didn't give me a message. And then I was frustrated with my business. I was determined to close it. And he kept influencing me to keep it. And he wouldn't give me a message. And I realized what was happening. And I surrendered. I said, well, I'm going to keep the business. And immediately he gave me a message. So I painted that picture for you to see, so you can see how when the Lord gives counsel, he does things according to the counsel of his own will. He does things the right way. My business became very important to the ministry God gave me. And I'm going to tell you one reason why. Some ministers are wedged in. Many denominational ministers, they stick to their denomination, their rules, because they have what you call a parsonage. And the church owns the house, and the church is their only source of income, and they don't have other businesses and things. So if they go outside the jurisdiction of the status quo, they get booted, and they have to preach bylaws, and they can't deviate, and the enemy is in it. Some people start a church, and if it's within an organization, they got to stick to organizational rules, and sometimes the organizational rules don't. They're not the same as God's rules. And the blueprint that God gives them require them to do greater things and different things. And they don't have the freedom because they have a board, because they have organization. They have people telling them, giving them guidelines. And people stick to what they know already. Then you have the storefront preachers. They start their own ministry in a storefront, and it grows from there. They have more wiggle room, but still, you know, the enemy is, the cold religion is trying to creep in, is what I'm saying, and keep the church weak. And if you're not free to grow in the Lord and go forward, you're going to stick to a status quo, and you're going to bear fruit after your kind. And we're going to talk more about this, but when you have your own business and you have the heart of God, and he is instructing you, you can do a real work that will work. The Lord, he has the freedom to show you what to do, where to do it, how to do it, and nobody can control your finances. If you allow people to control you through your finances, then you step out of the jurisdiction of your anointing, and people are already not used to what can happen when people are operating under the anointing, and people can't value what they don't understand. They can't, there's no way to value something you don't know anything about. Let's say a precious metal fell out of the sky from an asteroid, and it was more valuable than all the precious metals on earth. To some people, it would be a rock, but to the right scientists, that would be better than any gold. Now, it's the same thing with the anointing. If nobody ever seen it before, it's just another rock. It's just a big old rusty piece of heavy equipment. But to the construction worker, it's worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. And when people see what the anointing is capable of, then they'll value it. So every anointing comes with its own blueprint. You got to follow God in order to get where you need to be, in order to use it like it should be used. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to move in your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God loves you, and Jesus truly is our Lord.